I want to preach tonight on crowns of the Bible. We normally think of crowns as belonging to kings. But I want to set the setting for this message by reading these verses, because I think as we reveal to you what the Bible says about crowns, you'll be able to connect these two. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. Again, there's the Trinity, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Last part of verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. As I said, we want to preach about crowns, the crowns of the Bible. There's many. We can go back in the Old Testament and look at men like David, who was anointed king and then he was crowned king. But we're not going to deal so much with earthly kings as we're going to deal with spiritual thrones and spiritual kings. That's why I read Revelation chapter number 1, because the Bible says he hath made us kings and priests unto God. Now, if we're kings and priests, then more than likely we're going to have a crown associated with us at some point. We don't have it now, but it's coming, and I'm going to try to prove that to you from the Scriptures. First four times we find the word crown in the New Testament. I'm going to read these to you. The first four times we find the word crowns in the New Testament is found in Matthew 27, first of all. Matthew 27 and in verse number 29. I want you to retain these first four times you find the word crowns in the New Testament. Matthew 27 and verse number 29. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. The first time the word crown is found in the New Testament is here in this passage. It's making reference to the crown that they gave the Lord Jesus Christ after they had tried him. And they mock him and bow their knees and say, Hail, King of the Jews. We find it also in Mark 13 and verse number 7, if you'll turn there with me. Mark 13 and verse number 7. This is Mark's record of the same thing. That's not the right verse, but I believe I'll find that in Mark 14 and verse 7. Nope, it's not right either. Bear with me. 15:7. I wrote down a 3 and it should be a 5. 15:7, it says, And there was one named Barabbas which lay bound with him that had made 15:17. Boy, I've really messed up then. Okay, thank you, Tim. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus. When he had scourged him to be crucified, the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. That's the second time the word crown is mentioned in our King James Version of the New Testament. Third time, John 19, verse 2. I know this one's right. John 19 and verse number 2. It's not mentioned in Luke at all, But in John 19, in verse 2, John makes reference to this same crown of thorns. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." To Pilate, he wasn't a king. To the Jews, he wasn't a king. But the Bible declares him to be a king. And while he's being mocked here, and the crown that he has is a crown of thorns, nonetheless, it's referred to as a crown in the scriptures for the first time. Crowns in the Bible. Next time we find the word is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you'll turn there with me. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And he's writing about something temporal as we think about it. And you'll read this with me and you'll understand. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 24, Paul says this, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain." An encouragement, run. Like you want to win. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." This, of course, is making reference to a Stephanos, which was the crowns that they gave out at the Olympic Games. The winner would be given a crown of flowers woven together, much like the crown of thorns that they wove together for the Lord Jesus Christ. But this was a corruptible crown, because you know how flowers are. Within a few hours, they would be dried up and fade away. Paul says they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So Paul speaks of an incorruptible crown, one that will not fade away. It will not lose its appearance. It is a crown that will be eternal. It'll last forever. And beloved, any one of us that would be so blessed to receive any kind of these crowns, we can do it with a knowledge that it is an incorruptible crown. It can't ever be taken away from us. We can't lose it, except in the case we'll mention in just a minute. But it's an incorruptible crown. Paul says in verse 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." He's talking about, again, the Olympic Games. They had races, they had boxing matches, they had wrestling matches. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And the Olympics, if you didn't stay within the lines, if you didn't stay within the rules of the games, then they would disqualify you. And that's what he's talking about. "Lest I should be a castaway or placed on a shelf." But there is, in the Bible, something called an incorruptible crown. As we study the Bible and you look at the crowns that we'll see, you can just imagine how this crown must appear. The purpose of it is for kings. I read that passage in Revelation 1. "First on purpose, hath made us unto our God kings and priests." And beloved, kings deserve crowns. That's one of the emblems that they wear to signify that they are indeed a king. And Jesus Christ, by his death, has made us unto our God kings and priests. Priests also had crowns. If you remember back in the book of Exodus, when Moses was given the instructions for the high priest, he had that mitre to go on his head. Notice, as we continue now, 1 Peter 1 and verse number 4. Peter writing here in his first epistle, in the first chapter of 1 Peter, and in the fourth verse, he says this, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." The crown that God has prepared for his people is an incorruptible crown. It's not like the Stephanos. It's not like the wreath of flowers that they received in the Olympic Games. It's not even like the crown of the gold emblems that they received today. It's much more valuable than that. It's a greater honor than that, because the Bible says we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved for us. Those that will wear these crowns, it's reserved with our name on it. So this incorruptible crown is the next crown that we'll consider. But let's go on. Paul speaks of a crown also in 1 Thessalonians 2. And this is interesting when you study this. And you know the Apostle Paul by his writings. You know how much he loved people and how much he loved the churches that he was privileged to preach to. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse number 19 and 20, he talks about another crown. But what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. We may not understand this as lay people, but I'll tell you, the pastor ought to understand it, because he's writing concerning himself, having gone to the city of Thessalonica and seen the people and seen the effect that he had upon them and how noble they were and how many came to the Lord and how that church was founded there. He considered them, the people that he had witnessed to, the ones that he had gone to, he considered them his crown of rejoicing. And I believe that's true. I believe God will have crown for people that have done the work of the Lord and have gone to areas and preached the gospel and seen people saved and taught them the things of God. There'll be a crown for that. God's not a cheapskate. God's going to crown his people. He's going to honor his people that have loved him and served him. We need to remember that. There are crowns for God's people. A crown of rejoicing. Notice Philippians 4, verse 1, he speaks of the same thing to this church. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, you see how he felt about them, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. People meant a lot to the Apostle Paul. When God saved these people, that he went to them and preached to them, and he saw the Holy Spirit work in their hearts and bring them out of darkness into light and change them from a wasted life to a life that was useful to the Lord. They become his joy. They become his crown. And he put great emphasis on that. He honored them because he knew that someday he was going to be honored because of what God had done through him in bringing them to the Lord. So there's a crown called a crown of rejoicing. Why should we rejoice today? Why should we come to the house of God? And we shouldn't have to be elbowed or punched or prodded to rejoice. I mean, beloved, we're God's people. He's made us unto our God kings and priests, and he's prepared crowns for people that love him. God is going to honor those who honor him. He promises that all through the Bible. I'll honor them that honor me. And when we honor the Lord, we ought to be able to rejoice. We ought to be able to rejoice when God saves someone. We ought to be so really excited about the fact that God has brought someone else into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a crown of rejoicing somewhere for that. The Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. We ought to be rejoicing because we're going to rejoice someday. So the second crown that we see here is a crown of rejoicing, and it's concerning the Apostle Paul also. But notice as we continue in 2 Timothy chapter 4, here's another crown that Paul speaks about. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and begin reading with me in verse number 6. And I'm in 4, in verse 6. This, of course, is Paul's last letter, I believe, to Timothy. But he says here, "For I am now ready to be offered." I'll tell you, the older you get, you'll think about this more. When you're young and healthy, you don't even think about the fact that you're going to die someday. Never hardly crosses your mind at all. But when you get older, as Paul here is an aged person, and he says, "I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand." He recognized that. Remember what he said to the church at Philippi? "It'd be far better to depart and be with the Lord." But it was needful for him to stay because he needed to teach that church some things. But here he says, "I fought a good fight," in verse 7. "I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." What should we think of a man that could make this kind of a statement? Can we make that kind of a statement? We should want to. When we get near the end of our journey, beloved, this should be our testimony. "I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." Verse 8 says, "Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Not to me only. God has crowns for his people. And he's going to give those crowns freely to those that love him and serve him. Paul says that love is appearing. What did John say in Revelation chapter 22? "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." He loved the appearing of Jesus Christ. We ought to love his appearing. But so many times, even people that claim to be saved, "Oh, not yet, Lord. I've got more I want to do. I've got more I want to see before you come." But John said, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." And Paul says, "Unto all them that love his appearing, he has a crown of righteousness." Now, we're not righteous in ourselves. We know that. You say, how in the world could we have a crown of righteousness? Because we've been accepted in the Beloved, as I said this morning. We've been accepted in him, and we may be worthy of a crown of rejoicing. We may be worthy of a crown of righteousness. God knows we don't. Beloved, these are real crowns. This is God's word, and God cannot lie. There are crowns of righteousness going to be bestowed upon God's people because of the life that they've lived while on this earth. Now let's go back to James. I guess go forward to James, just a few pages. James chapter 1 and verse number 12. James speaks of a crown also. He says in verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." He's blessed. He's in a good state. "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath prepared to them that love him." He prepared a crown of righteousness to them that love his appearing. He's prepared a crown of life to them that love him. So there are crowns to be won. And beloved, we ought to be aware of this. We ought not to be ignorant of this. Say, "I don't want to serve the Lord for a crown." Then you're not very scriptural. You don't understand what the scripture's teaching. We ought to want that. We ought to desire that. A crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Notice what the promise is here to this church in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. This, of course, is a church at Ephesus. Revelation 2 and verse, no, it's not Ephesus, it's another church. I'll read it to you. Verse 10 says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." Notice both of these have to do with tribulation, with faithfulness. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." God has promised crowns to kings. He's made us. We're not kings. None of us here are kings. We don't rule as kings on this earth. But he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And he hath made us unto our God kings and priests. We're not kings of this world, beloved, but we're kings to God. Because he's made us kings. And he's prepared crowns for his people. a crown of life. Notice also in 1 Peter chapter 5, just turn back a few pages. I noticed every one of these crowns are found near the close of the scriptures. First one, of course, the first one we talked about was the crown of thorns that Jesus wore. It's the very beginning of his life, and well, actually end of his life, at the beginning of the gospel records. We found crown there four times. Now we find these near the end of the record of the Bible. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. Peter says here in his record, in the fifth chapter, in verse number 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort to him also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He's not bashful about this. He's not boasting. He knows that glory is not something he deserves. It's something the grace of God has given to him. Verse 2, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Again, these crowns will never fade. They're incorruptible. All of these crowns will last forever. You know, when Saul became king, it didn't last long. Even David lasts about 40 years. Earthly kings, their reign doesn't last very long. But what about an everlasting kingdom? What about an everlasting crown? What about an incorruptible crown that'll never fade away? All the jewels, all the gold, whatever it's made of, it'll always be precious. And it's an everlasting crown. But he says here, and this primarily is to the elders, the preachers, the pastors, in our language. It says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory. He encourages them first, in the first part of this chapter, he exhorts them, feed the flock of God. That's the responsibility of a pastor, more than anything else, more than witnessing to people. Now, he's to be a witness, but his primary responsibility before God and to the church is to feed the flock of God which is among you. And then he says, taking the oversight. Now, that don't sit too well with some people, but nonetheless, it's God's will. God says taking the oversight. He doesn't say receiving the oversight. He said taking the oversight. God give us the oversight. We need to take it. Notice, not by constraint, but willingly. We ought to be willing to do that. Not for filthy lucre. We ought not do it for money. If you do it for money, it won't last. But of a ready mind, you ought to want to be a pastor. You ought to want to do the work of God. You ought to want to feed the church of God. If you don't have that, you're missing something very serious. And beloved, if it ever comes to that in my life or in any preacher's life where he doesn't want that, then he needs to step aside and get out of the ministry, because he needs to feed the flock of God. He can't feed the flock of God if he can't feed himself. If he doesn't have a hunger in himself for the Word of God, he'll not be of any value whatsoever to a church. Let's read some other passages that support this back in the book of Hebrews in the 13th chapter, if you'll turn back there. Sometimes these are overlooked because it doesn't please the flesh in many churches, but this is God's will. It's revealed to us very clearly. He says in verse 7 of Hebrews 13, remember them which have the rule over you. You know, I appreciate the prayers, and I failed to mention this morning. You prayed for me, and I went to the doctor, and she's got some things going for me. And I start that medicine tomorrow for about 12 days. I got to take medicine. And she says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to make you feel better. And just pray that's true, because she's very positive about it. And I hope it's true. But the Bible says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, we just read the end of their conversation in 1 Peter chapter 5. As an elder, as a pastor, feeding the flock of God, God says, You'll have a crown of glory if you're faithful in this. God has prepared a crown of glory for pastors. But the Bible says we're to consider the end of their manner of life. Where are they headed? Well, they're headed for glory, and they're headed for a crown of glory. And we need to remember them. But he says further in verse 17, and this is a part some people don't like, obey them that have the rule over you. Not just to remember them, pray for them, but you need to obey them. They have some authority that you don't have. God has given them that designated authority in the church. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Oh, to resist a pastor. He's trying to preach the Word of God. He's given you the Word of God. Should be a terrible thing. Should be something you should be afraid to do. But notice, last of all, in verse 24, the same chapter, salute all them that have the rule over you. Honor them. Give them the respect due their name, their position. I don't say this selfishly, because I believe that's true of any man you ever sit under. Some of you have been members of other churches. I believe if a man is a man of God and he's preaching you the Word of God, he deserves respect. The Bible says he deserves respect. We're to submit to them. And if we don't do that, we've forgotten where they're headed. We've forgotten that God has promised them a crown of glory for their faithfulness. But I want to deal last of all with the rightful owner of all crowns. And you know where I'm headed with this, but let's read in Revelation 14, verse 14. Now, we know that God has provided crowns for His people to honor them for their service. But there's only one that's really deserving of a crown. If we have a crown, it's because of the grace of God, because God honored us with it. But here's one who's due all honor. Revelation 14, 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. A golden crown. Above all the others. I believe a crown that exceeds all of the other crowns that will be given out. Because he is worthy. He's worthy of being crowned. They give him a crown of thorns and mocked him, made fun of him. Hail, King of the Jews. Well, he's King of the universe, beloved. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. Revelation 19 tells us that. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And he has a golden crown. He deserves that crown. He alone deserves that crown in one sense of the word. Notice Revelation 4, verses 10 and 11. Also, on this thought, Revelation chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for all, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Who is the only one who is really worthy of the crowns that we even have? If God bestows a crown upon us, what will we do with it? Well, the Bible tells us we'll take it off of our head and we'll cast it before Him. Because He's the only one that's really worthy of being crowned. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's made us unto our God kings and priests unto God. And God's going to give crowns to people that are faithful to Him, that serve Him. But beloved, they're going to be given so they can cast them before the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of trying to obtain a crown. You want something to cast before Him, don't you? Knowing what you know about Him, don't you think it would be an honor to take a crown off your head and cast it before Him who sits on the throne? You know it would be. You don't have any right to it except by the grace of God. Revelation 19, verse 16, and I'll just read this one to you. But it says in this chapter, in this verse, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That's why he's worthy. One other place, Revelation 22 and verse 5. "Now I read in the beginning, Revelation chapter number 1, hath made us unto our God kings and priests." You see no crowns there, just the fact that you've been made kings and priests unto God. But here in Revelation 22, reading in verse number 5, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto them, These sayings are true and faithful, are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." Now this is written about 2,000 years ago. And when John wrote it, he said, "These things must shortly be done." And you know that God is not in time in the sense that we are. God doesn't mark time with a watch like we do. But notice the next verse, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he to me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant." Here's an angel. He said, "I'm not worthy of being worshipped. And of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book." Worship God. Here's God. Revelation 14, 14, he's sitting on a throne. He has a gold crown. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's worthy to be worshipped. That's why they cast their crowns before his feet. So, beloved, if you are honored by God to receive a crown, remember what you're going to do with it. You're going to cast it before his throne. You're going to gladly give it up, joyfully give it up, because of recognition that if you have a crown, it's by his grace. If you have a crown, it's to honor him. God gave it to you, not to honor you as much as to honor his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible says they shall reign. In this passage we just read, they shall reign forever and ever. Crowns are fitting for kings. If they're reigning, they'll have a crown. We know about the teachings of the Bible that God's going to set people over certain areas. We know about the rewards that he talks about. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." Revelation chapter 2. We know these things, beloved, because the Bible tells us. And we need to remember these things. There are crowns awaiting for God's people. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't have some kind of an attitude, "Well, I don't want any crown. I just want to serve the Lord because I want to serve the Lord." Well, you need to look in the scriptures and see what God says. You need to want to serve him so that you'll have something to cast before his throne someday and honor him because of who he is. That's our message tonight. Let's stand, sing Hymn of Invitation.